And, well, maybe you're, it might be normal for you. I don't know. We'll find out soon enough. We've got till 11:30, right? Let's keep it on. Okay. Normally you do the Bible reading and then you talk about it, right? But today I want to talk about suffering. No, actually, I don't want to talk about suffering. You guys know all about suffering. I'm pretty sure if we felt comfortable, we could share a story about suffering in our life. Every single person here. Whether it's sickness or a broken relationship or financial issues or struggling to find a job sometime in life or the stories are as different as we have individuals. Want to focus on comfort, but you can't start with comfort without first dealing with why we need comfort. And why do we need comfort? We need comfort because we suffer. If all of life were joy, 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 what would we need comfort for? Right? So we can't have comfort without suffering, which is kind of inconvenient. I'd rather just be comfortable. But that is not our experience. Now, there's a whole sermon that goes ahead of this sermon about suffering, because suffering comes in three forms, from three ways. But why dwell on the causes of suffering? We all know suffering. We all know pain. We all know anguish. We all know hurt. We all know illness. We all know disease. We all know broken relationships. We know that part. Used to be said that the reason you're suffering is because, well, you or someone close to you has sinned. Used to be said. Well, it still can be said. If you look in the Bible, that's a biblical point. Suffering is caused by sin. Israel suffered. How many times, especially in the Old Testament, and Israel did wrong or did evil in the sight of the Lord, and suffering came as discipline. But nowhere should anybody ever say, Jack, the reason you are suffering from cancer is because of sin in your life. Now, son, if you would only confess. Guess what? Your sin is no greater than mine. As far as I know, I've never had cancer, nor do I ever hope to experience what you have gone through.
I found chemo was one of my days, and I kind of regret it. But I got great strength from a true strength. Yes.
But suffering, your suffering, is not necessarily a result of sin. Okay, so we have to be careful. It can be a result of sin. God disciplines us. He inflicts us with a situation or whatever as punishment, as discipline, because He loves us. What is the purpose of that? For us to turn from the lifestyle, from what we were doing, from the sin we were living in, to whom? To God. So if you are living in a life of sin and you are inflicted or afflicted and you turn to God, what a blessing. That's reason one. Reason two is very simply, all of creation suffers. All of creation has fallen. It was a beautiful Garden of Eden. Everything was perfect, and man brought sin into the world, and everything in the world has been infected. It's not as bad as it could be. By God's grace, it is not as bad as it could be. But sin is rampant throughout the world. Here in Belleville, in Ontario, in Canada, in North America, in Europe, and across seven continents, sin pervades the world. And because of that, we have a lot of the miserable things that happen. We have death, we have disease, we have accidents, we have natural disasters. People hurt. All creation groans. All creation suffers because of sin. And then there's a why, you know, if that is the, let's take it a step back. If that is the normal, then we might begin to accept that as normal, which is a problem. But that is not normal. There should be, and I firmly believe, the Bible talks about it, that inside of us, because we were created in God's image, because we were created for that relationship, the life of sin that surrounds us, even if you don't believe, you're just not comfortable with it. Do you know non-believers that just aren't quite satisfied? They're always looking for something. It might be the next big break. It might be the winning the next lotto. It might be, but they're always looking for something, right? Because they know that this world is just not enough as it is. And God says, ta-da! Here I am. I am the next something. I am the always something, the first, the now, and the forever something of life. The third reason of their suffering is the devil himself. Read the story of Job, right? Where God has allowed, and it just doesn't make sense. Why would God allow the devil to inflict so much hurt and injury and pain on somebody? Don't want to get into that. That we could talk about that for weeks. That should take a good long Bible study. That's even beyond a normal sermon. But the fact is, the devil is active still in our world. Yes, Christ has died. He's also arisen. He has conquered death. He has conquered sin. There is victory. He has crushed the serpent's head, but the serpent's tail is still swinging back and forth, right? There is still pain caused by the devil in the world. So the three ways that we can suffer, or that may cause suffering. And I don't know what caused the suffering in your life. I have no idea. I don't know your story. Some I know a wee bit of, and just wee bits of. But I know everybody experiences it. And I'm not here to ask you, well, let's discover why you are suffering. The point of suffering is one thing and one thing only. Whether it is because of sin, whether it is because of sin in the world, whether it's because of the devil working in and around you, all of suffering is to do one thing, and that is to drive us to the foot of the cross and to our knees and point us to God. There is no better place than sitting on God's knee with his arms wrapped around you. There's no safer place. There's no greater comfort. And if we turn to Psalm 77, it's our first Bible reading. Psalm 77. I'm going to read it to you. And I'm going to ask, just pay attention to the psalmist's realization. Just a couple points I want to take out of this. I'm going to read the whole thing. I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me. When I was in distress, I sought the Lord. At night, I stretched out untiring hands and would not be comforted. I remembered you, God, and I groaned. I meditated. My spirit grew faint. You kept my eyes from closing. I was too troubled to speak. I thought about the former days. The years of long ago, I remembered my songs in the night. My heart meditated and my spirit asked, will the Lord reject forever? Will he never show his favor again? Has His unfailing love vanished forever? Has His promise failed for all time? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Has He in anger withheld His compassion? Then I thought, to this I will appeal. The years when the Most High stretched out His hand, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will consider all your works and meditate on all your mighty deeds. Your ways, God, are holy. What God is as great as our God? You are the God who performs miracles. You display your power among the peoples. With your mighty arm, you redeemed your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. The waters saw you, God. The waters saw you and writhed. The very depths were convulsed. The clouds poured down water. The heavens resounded with thunder. Your arrows flashed back and forth. Your thunder was heard in the whirlwind. Your lightning lit up the world. The earth trembled and quaked. Your path led through the sea. Your way through the mighty waters, though your footprints were not seen. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Is the problem solved? Has the problem gone away? The psalmist recognizes he's in distress. But what? There's a couple points here that really need to be taken. The psalmist looks to God and he says, I remember the God of the past. Sometimes it seems like God's not working right here, right now, in my situation. I don't feel it because it's not comfortable. But I remember the God of the past. And who is the God of the past? Do you or do you not have a story, a memory, a recollection, a time in your life when you saw God working in your life? Has God not been faithful? Has He not been a blessing to you in times gone by? Has He not stood in the threshold for you? Has He not carried you through deep waters prior and in the past? God has a track record of being there and of walking with us through the hard times. Doesn't He? I think we all have stories. We all have a memory, something we can share, something we can reflect back on. And yes, it is messy now. God, I am suffering. But I look back as the psalmist does and I say, wow, You are a God who is in control. You have such a track record. You have loved Your people. You led them out of Egypt. You brought them across the Red Sea. You led them through the wilderness. You gave them a promised land. God, You sent Your Son to die for me while I was yet a sinner. God, You have proved Yourself over and over and over and over and over and over. I don't get it now, but I'm going to trust You. Isn't that comfort? May not feel right now, but we have a God who has a track record that is absolutely perfect. Then let's look at the 2 Corinthians passage. I think Paul is a terribly messed up individual. If they, do the psychoanalysis of Paul. I rejoice in my suffering. Paul. A few screws loose. In the world today, we're all about comfort. Stub my toe, I'm going to take a pill that's going to take away the pain. Right? Paul was weird that way. You got to love Him and the message He brings. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 3 to 11. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. That explains Paul's whole thing about I rejoice in suffering, right there. Because who did he know God as? He was a God of comfort, the Father of compassion, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. Now, just going to stop there. Those of you who are visiting and may not know this congregation very well, welcome to the club. I am only new here myself. But I can speak somewhat for this congregation or about this congregation and say, this congregation has endured enough suffering that they can bring comfort to this whole community. You realize that, Emmanuel? In Paul's own words, you have suffered. Paul says, I've suffered that I might bring comfort. I've experienced suffering and comfort so that I can bring comfort to others. I'd rather do without the suffering so I could bring comfort, but that's the reality of it. You have suffered and you are suffering and your life is not ideal all the time. And the reason that is allowed to continue is so that you might experience the comfort of our Lord and Savior Christ and share that. And share that. Not just here in this room, but in this community. Verse 5. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. So much for prosperity gospel right there. Give your life to Christ and you're going to suffer. That's a real recruiting poster little meme right there. Give your life to God and you're going to suffer. Welcome to the club. Suffering club. If that's all that it were, yeah, it'd be miserable. But in this world, we're all suffering. Just many don't know it. Because they don't have a clue what comfort looks like. And once they've experienced the comfort, none of us ever want to go back to a life without Christ, do we? Verse 7, and our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. In other words, Paul thought he was going to die. That was it. He had given up. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. Jack's testimony this morning, but I had so many people praying for me. He, that is God, has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and He will deliver us again. On Him we have set our hope that He will continue to deliver us, as you help us by your prayer. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted to us in answer to the prayers of many. Where are prayers addressed? To our Heavenly Father. Where do we go in distress? To our Heavenly Father. You are not left alone to suffer. We have a Lord and God who has walked the face of the earth and experienced suffering like beyond anything we can imagine. Being spit upon, ostracized, disliked in his own town, cast out, about to be stoned, taken and crucified. Before then he was whipped, he was beaten, crown of thorns placed upon his head. The man, as man, suffered as a man would suffer. Yes, he was God, but he experienced suffering like a human. He knows what it is to walk in a world that we walk in today. He's been there, he's done that, and gone beyond. Who better than our Lord and Savior to take our hand and walk us through the struggles that we experience each and every day? Our suffering drives us to Christ, and being with Christ, there is no better place. And then to close, turn to Psalm 23. We all know it. We all know it. Most of us can rattle it off, but we know it like semi-King James Version, right? Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. You say, well, health? A boost in pay would be convenient. Better grades for me. I lack nothing. No, I lack nothing. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord provides. The Lord steers. The Lord guides. Walking with the Lord, I lack nothing. If I don't have it, it's because He has figured I don't need it. Or He is going to walk with me to the point where I attain it. But it won't be me. It'll be Him. See the difference? Everything, all blessing comes from God. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. How often don't we just, want that refreshing? We seek that. We're empty. Have you felt that? Empty? Just, I don't want to get out of bed, Peter Penguin. Oh, he wanted to get out of bed. That's right. But just needing that refreshing. God refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, and some days, Lord, it sure feels dark down here, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. Rod and staff. Spare the rod, spoil the child. Right? The rod is an instrument of discipline. A staff is an instrument of guidance and provision. One does not go without the other. If God loves you, He will discipline. Your rod and your staff, they actually comfort me. Your discipline, Lord, comforts me because I know that You love me because You're setting me straight in life. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely Your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I don't know what you're going through day by day. I don't know what trials you have. But I do know that we have a God of all comfort who is just waiting to hold us by the hand, to take us on His knee and comfort us and walk us through. Walk with us as we experience the hurt of the day. Amen.